So I think we're going to go ahead and get started. I'm Andrew Riddle, Sartec Services Manager, and welcome to our Municipal Sartec Criteria Workshop. So here's our agenda. We'll begin with the an overview of the MPO's roles and responsibilities related to Sartecs. And then Aaron Emmons with Kimley Horn will provide more details on the criteria. And then Carrie McNeil will go over the work mix as it relates to the ordinance with an interactive poll. And we'll wrap up with questions. So I just want to kind of stress that this workshop is only focused on the criteria. We will not be discussing any points or scaling at this workshop. We're here to establish the criteria, okay? So I know there might be questions later about how many points are going to be assigned to these criteria, but we're not at that point yet, so we're just focused on establishing the criteria. So in the interlocal agreement between Broward County and the MPO, no action has been taken, will be taken, by the MPO advisory committees or the MPO board. So this is a staff-to-staff development of the criteria. It will not be going to our advisory committees or the board for any kind of action, approval of any means. The agreement does require staff to provide regular updates, and we have been doing that at our regular TAC, CAC, and board meetings, and we will continue to do so. So the MPO has been tasked to review, rank, and prioritize municipal projects that are eligible for local Sartec funding. Over the past month, we have been meeting with the cities to go over their projects in detail that have been included in the Sartec plan. And we are down to our last cities, and we should be wrapping them up by the end of the month. Once we gather all the information from the cities, we will actually put it into GIS, into a GIS database, which will be part of the ranking tool. So this workshop is very important because at this point, we need to take the information that we've been gathering from the cities and put it into the ranking tool. But in order to do that, we actually need to get the criteria established. So the ranking process. The Sartec ordinance requires the MPO to evaluate each project that is identified in the Sartec plan based on their ability to alleviate congestion and enhance connectivity. After this is done, there will be another evaluation based on project readiness or shovel readiness. So just because a project is ranked really high, there will be another evaluation on project readiness. And that project readiness criteria and process will be at the November 20th workshop. So here are the draft criteria and how they support the ordinance. The first one, improvements in high employment and population areas can alleviate congestion and enhance connectivity. Projects that improve roadway level of service can alleviate congestion. Improving access to transit and alleviating congestion and enhance connectivity. Connection to existing facilities enhances connectivity. And projects that improve incident delay, such as will support both congestion and connectivity. And the ILA also requires project performance. And project performance means, are the projects being delivered on schedule, on budget, and also meeting the county's certified business enterprise goals, and that's 30% over 30 years. The county is responsible for tracking this and will be providing the MPO a summary of how well these cities are performing. And that will be used going forward after projects are actually implemented and have a track record so that we can, you know, evaluate that criteria. But right now, everyone is at zero. Now, the last two, equity and resiliency, do not directly relate to the ordinance or the interlocal agreement, but we, from listening to you all, felt like those criteria are important to your communities. The interlocal agreement between Broward County and the Broward MPO required that the MPO develop a process consistent with the Complete Streets and Localized Initiative Program, the CSLIP program. And as you can see on the far right column, all of the criteria are consistent with the CSLIP criteria, except for resiliency. Now, Aaron Emmons will go into more details on the specifics of the criteria and also the evaluation approach.
All right, good morning. My name is Aaron Emmons. I'm with Kimley Horn and Associates. I'm the project manager on this project. Before I get started, I also want to identify the other Kimley Horn members of this team. Stefano Viola, who most of you have probably already met. He's our project engineer on the project, who's meeting with each of the municipalities to go over all of your projects individually, providing feedback, as well as identifying ways in which those projects that have been adopted as part of the ordinance can be more in tune and line with the ordinance, but also get your projects ready to be implemented. We also have John Lafferty from the plantation office here at Kimley Horn and Karen Gonzalez. I want to emphasize also, all of our project team are local to Broward County. We're right here in your backyard, so you will be seeing us for the next 30 years. So now that you know where to find us, let's get started. I also want to take a moment to point out, this is a very exciting time for Broward County. This is a cool project. I'm ecstatic to be involved in it, and it is going to be evolving each year. And I want you guys to know that the things that we discussed today are not set in stone. This project, and we've identified this through the last month meeting with all of you, this is a learning process on all sides, from the municipality side, from the county side, from the MPO side. And if we all can work together on this process, it will benefit everyone in the end. So when we talk about these criteria, don't think that this is the last time that you'll have a chance to weigh in. Also, as the projects evolve and as your projects become more specific to the ordinance, you'll see how these benefits and how these will get ranked and prioritized as years do come. And again, this is a 30-year plan. Not all projects will be implemented the first year. I'm pretty sure everybody can kind of understand why. So, let's get started. So when all of you submitted your projects at the very beginning, you had a chance also to go back onto the MPO's website and provide more clarification and backup material for the projects that were part of the SRTAX project submittals for municipalities. Those project locations were originally indicated by points. Obviously, that is not what your project represents. So part of that one-on-one that we've been doing in this last month with you has been used to clarify the limits in the corridor criteria, or the limits of your corridor, so that we can digitize those and actually make it a geographically represented project corridor itself. What that provides us is not only the ability to have a better understanding of the readiness, being able to identify right-of-way restrictions, if there's any opportunity for collaborative opportunities with different projects within the same vicinity, but also looking at opportunities, the cost savings for you and the county if there's overlap with other projects or initiatives within the area that have previously been adopted or with other projects that are going on. So this graphic is demonstrating the geographic approach aspect that we will be implementing with the criteria that Andrew just highlighted. So we took your dot locations, from the descriptions you've given us, if you said it goes from First Street to Second Street, we're drawing a line from First Street to Second Street. And the maps you guys provided us, we're going to give you an opportunity to make sure that those corridors were correctly reflected from your descriptions. The criteria that I'm going to go over will also have buffers that I'll reference in regards to how the project corridor geographically will be evaluated for the ranking purposes geographically. So these are the same criteria that were just outlined in the table. All of the resources and all the data that we are utilizing are county approved, developed by the county, either the MPO or the Department of Transportation. The purpose of this is that there's no black box data sources that we're utilizing. All of these data sources have been adopted by the county or have been already approved by local sources. The purpose of this too is for transparency, but also because these sources can easily be utilized as future years come and are part of the regular maintained data sources within your jurisdictions. So for the employment and population density, we're utilizing traffic analysis zones already part of your county comp plan map series indicating areas of existing transit generators. That data is being provided to us by the county, and we'll be evaluating projects based on a quarter mile buffer in the proximity of those different density density corridors. And again, this criteria was identified to alleviate congestion as well as improve connectivity. Roadway level of service. Roadway level of service is a measurement along roadways that takes into consideration traffic volumes, speed, roadway facility. And we will be looking at the traffic flow indicated for each corridor in the proximity in which your project could address the congestion level along that corridor depending on its score of a B, C, D, E, or F. Obviously, those corridors that have a more restricted traffic flow would have a higher priority if your project work mix, and Carrie is going to go through the project work mix exercise with you, would help address that type of issue. Talking about support to transit services. This is an opportunity for those projects that are along a corridor that has transit service to get higher priority or potentially identified as a higher ranking depending on its proximity within a quarter mile. The different types of service will also have a different scale associated with them. Again, points and scales for those types of, for this criteria has not been established yet and won't be until we finalize evaluating all projects and have met with all of the municipalities. Connection to existing facilities. Now there's two parts to this aspect. One is, for simplicity purposes, the example of implementing a sidewalk that connects to an existing sidewalk. That would be a connection to an existing facility. A sidewalk that's finishing a gap, or filling a gap, or connecting to a transit service, that would be an example of connecting to an existing facility. Other things that are considered under this criteria is its proximity to schools. So projects located within a half mile buffer of an existing public school will also have consideration taken for this criteria. Incident delay. Incident delay takes into consideration the crash density assessment. The example shown here is just an illustration taken from the recent MTP that was just adopted, which is just emphasizing bicycle and pedestrian facilities, but we also will be taking into consideration vehicle crash data analysis. And so it's, again, the same data source that's utilized in the CSLIP process, and those corridors that have high density crashes within 200 feet will also be considered in addition to alleviating congestion, or in support of alleviating congestion and enhancing connectivity. Equity, again, these criteria is based off the CSLIP. Equity will be looked at and taken into consideration within a quarter mile buffer of a corridor. These averages will be, the equity base layer is developed taking into consideration population with disability, racial minority, population below poverty, the ethnicity, limited English efficiency, youth 10 to 17, and older 65 plus. And again, this is a data layer that's already been established and adopted by the Broward MPO process. And resiliency. So resiliency will be based off the projects that are improving and addressing resiliency in itself. Just the fact that you are located in a corridor that's been identified as a vulnerable corridor for resiliency does not necessarily mean that you could potentially get considered for this criteria. If you are creating a sidewalk and not addressing the elevation aspects, that is not helping with resiliency. If you are widening a road but also addressing flooding and drainage, that potentially could be part of this criteria. Again, this is an element through our discussions with the municipalities and also through the projects that have been submitted, we've seen a mix of this type of project descriptions and work mix. And from our meetings with all of you, there is quite a variety of projects that have been submitted. So this has been a great learning opportunity for everybody. And some of those things that we want to point out is, again, when we're talking about the support to the ordinance, I know there's been a lot of changes from the first time this ordinance went to the vote, but this final one does tie back in most support with the alleviation of congestion and how it enhances connectivity. In that last criteria, you can all leave today knowing that you're all winners. You have all met this criteria 100%, so congratulations, because none of you have failed to meet your schedule or your budget. So project performance moving forward will be based on how projects that are awarded funding will be how they meet their schedule with implementation if they stay within the budget in which they were agreed to follow. So this, again, the first couple years will not be a point deduction towards your projects because those have not been established yet. So we're going to move into the work mix exercise. The criteria, again, was one aspect. Yes, ma'am. The presentation is currently on the website, and this revised one after today's discussion will be available. Hold on one second. So the second part of this I want to just highlight. We talked about criteria. That's the geographically based project. The other part of the criteria that's important to understand is the work mix itself. As I said, projects that have been submitted to the MPO, to the county for consideration for, for implementation with SRTAX funding are all over the scale. Everything from fiber network to safety enhancements, sidewalk improvements, to micro transit facilities or micro transit systems. With that, we've had to identify not only the process of how to deal with project ranking today, but how that process will go for future project submittals or swapping out projects for the future. So the next part of this presentation, we're going to talk about the categories in which have been identified utilizing your existing work mixes that have been submitted. So we're going to ask you to rate, and Carrie will go into a little bit more detail, your support in how each of these categories that we've identified support the ordinance in your mind. So, yes, ma'am.
Looking at the criteria, I know that there's a category for equity.
One second.
There is a category for equity, but it seems to be more to be social equity. And we were just wondering if there was anything built in for equity amongst the cities, the projects that we've submitted, if and where that would be built in.
Understood. So to clarify and make sure I understand your question, is to make sure that one municipality isn't getting all the funding versus being spread out over the time. This is definitely something that we are taking in consideration. And because of the criteria, just geographically based could potentially create an offset or an imbalance of some of these project mixes. We understand that, and part of that project mix part that we're going to talk about is one of those criteria that we're utilizing to help distribute the funds in project prioritization amongst the entire county. So, and this is the first year projects are being ranked, but they're also, the second part of that is a five-year plan. And we feel confident by just the initial review of the projects that we'll be able to diversify the funding across the county because of the projects that have been submitted and through our discussions. Yes, ma'am.
Can you explain
very high in, I'm sorry.
Can you explain that ranking? I mean, I see what criteria you use, but what does that ranking mean?
Sure, so that's the part we have not established yet. So these ranges in regards to high, medium, and low. For this example here, for the equity, this is the scaling that was utilized in the actual equity assessment that was developed by Broward MPO. So the high, medium, and low are the density of each of those seven criteria that are bulleted there. So for this, the purpose of showing the maps for this presentation is to establish the source that we pulled it from. So the scaling of this has not been weighed in on how it will impact the projects yet. Yes, Karen.
Are those sources also on the website so that we can look at these maps a little closer?
We can make those available. We're still obtaining the latest versions of each of these data sources, so we can provide a resource. But in the presentation, all of these maps are referencing what is in the county comp plan.
Hi, I think you talked about density and a buffer within density. Is that based on current density, or are you looking at, you know, areas where there may be a local activity center which have future potential growth? Can you maybe clarify a little bit about density and then also on resiliency? Obviously, the projects would be designed to the Florida Building Code, which set the finished floor elevation required drainage. So maybe you can expand a little bit on what types of resiliency elements you'd be looking for in addition to whatever's required to construct the project.
Sure. So after this question, I'm going to pause and we're going to go to the exercise, and then we're going to go back to answering all the questions after. But your first question in regards to the densities, one of the two criterias that you saw on that existing transit generator map was activity centers and the density of the TAZs, the traffic analysis zones. We are not taking into consideration the activity center for the fact that, for the exact reason that the land use of activity center would essentially establish an entire city in most cases, such as Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, and that would probably outweigh some of those areas in the western part of the county that don't necessarily have a land use or an area identified at activity zone. So basing it off of population and employment that's known, we're utilizing that source. The other question was in regards to resiliency. The resiliency, again, we have not identified exactly how those will be played in, but we're looking at more the vulnerability of those corridors. So in regards to the identified the corridors that were identified in the extreme weather and climate change risk to the transportation systems of Broward County, that study identified vulnerable corridors, and those corridors are what we'll be considering from that data source.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that, you know, the for the density purposes, we're using the latest available data, so we're not using the projected. So I know that the TAZs have the, you know, 2015 counts or the 2018 counts, but we're not extrapolating it out to the 2040 as if, you know, we do here for modeling purposes for the long-range plan. Whatever we have available for the current density for that year, because remember this is an annual cycle, is what we'll be using to evaluate your project, not on your build-out 40 years later.
So any additional questions, I do want to give the opportunity, that's why we're here, to ask those and kind of flush out some of these concerns that may be floating in your heads. Let's do the second part of the exercise in the presentation, and let's come back and give an opportunity for everybody to voice those questions that you have.
Thank you, Erin. Okay, I'm Carrie McNeil, the project manager for Certec Services with the Broward MPO. And just a quick reminder, this presentation is on our website. So if you'd like to access it afterward, I'll just show you where to find it. Okay, so we actually have a direct link to the Municipal Certec webpage on the MPO's website now on the homepage. So you can go directly to broadmpo.org. And then here you click on Municipal Certex. It'll take you to a landing page. And then if you click that link, it'll bring you directly to the the surtax, and here's our lovely flyer for today's event. And then right under that is the presentation, a link to the presentation for your viewing. Okay, so I get to do the fun part with you guys today. We're gonna have, we have a fun interactive polling exercise that we invite you to participate in. Basically, the objective of today's of the exercise is to get a feel for how you connect the different work mixes back to the goals of the ordinance, which of course are alleviating congestion and enhancing connectivity. So this exercise is designed to obtain your feedback. However, the rating and the numbers, they're not representative of the point system that we're going to be developing for the ranking of the project. So don't, you know, look too much into it. It's just an exercise. And if you want to take out your phones and go to the website menti.com. It's menti.com. And if you like to connect to the free Wi-Fi, it's bmpo-public. And there's no password. So I'll just give you guys a minute to connect to that. Oh, okay. Yeah, just to say that into the mic, if you are having trouble with your phone or your internet, we do have computers on the dais that you can use. So, okay. All right, so the code, if you log in to menti.com, if you go to menti.com, they'll prompt you for a code, and today's code is 622535. Sure, it's right up on the screen. It's 622535. Okay, so we just have some warm-up questions here to get a feel for how this program works. So go ahead and enter in whatever you like, and we'll see how many people. We've got a tally of how many people are taking the poll in the bottom right. So I just want to get a feel for how many people we have participating in the room for the real questions. The first one is holding at a at a three almost. Awesome, 41. Again, that's menti.com and 622535. First one is, my commute to the MPO was a breeze. Broward County is a great place to live, and fall is my favorite time of year. Okay, I think we're holding pretty steady at 53. So we'll go ahead and move on to the questions. Okay, I expected number two to be a five, but that's okay. Okay, so the first one, the first work mix is bike and pedestrian infrastructure. So the projects that we're getting, we have a lot of bike and pedestrian infrastructure improvement projects. I want you to let us know if you strongly disagree or strongly agree or somewhere in the middle that these bike ped infrastructure improvements have the ability to alleviate congestion, and then do they have the ability to enhance connectivity? Again, this is tying things directly back to the ordinance, which is what our job is, to prioritize these projects based on that. All right, so we're at 53 again. Okay, so if you can't, I don't know if everybody can read this. Hopefully they can, this is like as big as like as the text can get, but alleviates congestion, got a 2.8, and enhances connectivity, got a 4. So it looks like the majority of people believe that the bike ped infrastructure has the potential to enhance connectivity a little bit more than its potential to alleviate congestion. All right. Oh, we have 54. Awesome. Okay, next one is transit routing and microtransit. So strongly disagree that it can alleviate congestion, that these, you know, programs can alleviate congestion. Microtransit example would be like freebies in Fort Lauderdale, and then its potential to enhance connectivity. Okay, that one was pretty close, actually. It was pretty even. Alleviate congestion is 3.2, and enhanced connectivity, 3.8. All right, cool. Okay, now we have 55. Awesome. Okay, signal enhancement. This is making improvements to existing traffic signals, or even installing new ones. Okay, so it looks like congestion is a little bit more favorable in this instance. We have 3.9 for congestion and 2 for enhances connectivity. Okay, capacity increase and widening of roads, so. I think I know what the, I think we might have an idea what the results might be for this one, but let's go ahead and see how we all vote. Okay, we have a 3.4 for alleviates congestion and a 2 for enhances connectivity. So we've got almost to our 55 number, but let's move on to the next one. Okay, just a couple more here. A lot of projects we've been reviewing are landscaping, hardscape, or gateway improvements. Okay, so not as strong on this one. We have a 0.9 for alleviates congestion and a 1.6 for enhances connectivity. All right, traffic circles, speed tables, and intersection improvements, commonly known as traffic calming projects. Traffic circles, speed tables, you know, speed humps, and intersection improvements. Okay, so we're a little bit stronger on the alleviates congestion for this category. 3.2 for alleviates congestion, and 2.3 for enhances connectivity. Okay, resiliency improvements. This could include anything from, you know, drainage improvements. We've seen a lot of drainage improvement projects for pump stations, etc. So alleviates congestion or enhances connectivity. Oh, 56. Okay. All right. So finished with a 1.9 for alleviates congestion and a 1.5 for enhances connectivity. And I think that was the last. Oh, no. Sorry. Fiber. Fiber. Alleviates congestion or enhances connectivity. Okay, so that was our last category. We have a 2.3 for alleviates congestion and a 1.6 for enhances connectivity. Thank you for participating. We're going to save these results and, you know, review them after this workshop. And I think we'll be able to post them to our website as well, or send them out to you. But again, thank you. That went really well. So a little bit of fun. And we'll go back to Andrew with the actually, we're going to go back to questions first. You want to do questions for the schedule?
Yeah, we can throw out the schedule
okay. Really
quick, just so that everyone is aware that we will have a workshop in November, and during that time, we will be developing the prioritization tool. We're actually underway on that, but the November workshop is really going to be focused on the scores that will be associated with the criteria that we've established through this effort. And then we'll be going through the ranking and prioritization process and doing field reviews, hopefully in December whenever it's cooled down. and of course, we have to deliver the projects by March 1 to the Broward County staff so that they can take those projects to the oversight board for a recommendation to approval to the Board of County Commissioners. So we're on a really fast track, and you know, meeting with all of you this past month has been a real eye-opener on your projects, and you know, the city staff has been really great, and I really appreciate all the work that you put into uploading files and really making those one-on-one workshops very helpful and getting those projects information ready for the tool. So, like I said, we only have five more left, so we're very happy, and we will be wrapping up by the end of October. Any questions on the schedule? I know you guys have probably seen this before. We showed it to you at some of the one-on-one meetings and also at our TAC and CAC and board meetings, just so that everyone understands kind of the flow and our end requirements for delivering those projects to the county. Yes, Paul. Yes.
I'm just wondering, we've gotten the minutes of the meetings and we've gotten, is there going to be opportunity or there's a timeline for people to actually provide additional information or more clarification for these projects?
Yes, sir. Yes, Paul. So I know that there has been a little bit of a lag of getting those meeting notes to the ones that we have already completed. But we really, if possible, could get the follow-up action items that we've identified with you at that one-on-one meeting within a week. I know that's a little tight. I know you guys have a ton on your plate already, but if you can try to get it to us within a week, that'd be very helpful, because we're really at the point where we have to start plugging these projects into our prioritization tool to meet our deadline. Because like I said, we have to get the draft list of projects to the TAC by January and also to the MPO board as an informational item, of course, in February, and then we have to transfer it to the oversight board by October, the county, for their vote, which is on, I think, October, March 26th is their oversight committee meeting. But please, you know, we can talk offline if you need to have a little bit more time. You know, we'll try and work with you as much as possible. Any other questions on the schedule before we move on? Sure.
Just a clarification on the timeline, Andrew. I see that we're developing prioritization and then doing the field visits. I heard something about another workshop on November 20th regarding prioritization, I guess. Will we have our prioritization for each city by then, or?
No, sir.
Okay.
So this workshop is only to establish the criteria. And at the November workshop, we'll be talking about the points assigned to those criteria and also the project readiness, which is that second evaluation after we rank the projects. Because the thing is we don't want to have a top-ranked project that's really not project ready. And like we said before, you're going to be evaluated based on project performance. And that we don't want to set you up for failure if that project really isn't ready to go. So those are the things that we're still trying to work out for our November 20th workshop. But that I think the November 20th workshop will help you with more clarity on that process. Any more questions? So let's go back to the questions on the criteria. Christine?
Hey, can you explain why safety wasn't part of the criteria?
So we did discuss this, and we felt like every project does have a safety component to it, and we really wanted to make sure that it was embedded into the project as improving safety, and that is why we didn't call it out as a specific criteria, because if you look at the CSLIP, safety is kind of in its own category, and there's multiple things that are under CSLIP that support safety. But really, we feel like all projects should have a safety component to it.
Right, but many don't, like landscaping, right? So way widening.
Right. Sorry. So we talked about landscaping and it's part of the survey, right? If you put the landscaping between the cars and the PEDs, it becomes a safer environment. So maybe those landscaping projects could become safety improvement projects. Does that make sense?
Well,
so how does that criteria inform the project to rank it higher? When, if you slap a sidewalk next to the cars, it adds connectivity if it's not there. But if you push it back behind the tree line, then it adds safety. Does that make sense?
I
feel like safety could, as a line, could be a criteria that would improve the safety of our residents moving and add to the connectivity.
And also, some of the projects did have safety components to the projects. So those will be evaluated based on our criteria.
I want to add to that.
Sure, Erin wants to add to that too.
Yeah, there's no question about good design and addressing safety in all of the project's objectives. Why this is not specifically called out as a criteria itself is because it can sometimes be subjective in how it is measured. And looking at crash data was the compromise in still addressing an issue in regards to safety as a high density crash area, but also keeping in mind the support to what the ordinance intent is, and that's improving connectivity and enhancing or alleviating congestion. And so other forms of funding and project priorities, such as CSLIP and other kind of complete streets funding mechanisms, are more geared towards that safety prioritization, when in reality the surtax is in support of connectivity and alleviating congestion. And that's why there's not a specific category based on just safety criteria, since it is so subjective in regards to how that design criteria is set to address safety.
Right, and also with the CSLIP, it's pretty much exactly what the incident delay. So non-vehicular crashes is part of CSLIP safety, and also vehicular crashes. So like Aaron was saying, that's kind of wrapped into our incident delay criteria.
No heartburn? Good? Step one of the process?
So is there a general consensus on the criteria that we proposed today? Sure.
I do have a question about the density.
I have a question about the density taking into account only current data. Because my understanding is that the initial decisions will basically establish the plan, correct? Okay, so 5 years is a reasonable length of time. In that time, we are probably going to be making headway, if not completing. I'm not sure what the timeline is on the big mall that's going in. And there are certainly some other projects that are approved and will be in place within that time. And it seems that without taking some of those impacts into consideration, some projects could be like kind of behind the eight ball, in the sense that something might really need to be prioritized higher in terms of the impact to congestion and such, taking into account just a short-term horizon of what's planned.
Right, but this is an annual ranking process, so the better information that we get from the municipalities on a yearly basis, because we will be updating our data sources, so if there is something that has been built within that year, or you know, the third year of the five-year plan, that will help your project, you know, with a higher score.
Okay, so again, my understanding, which may be flawed, is that we're starting with a five-year horizon, and then there will potentially be increments in 1 year at a time, or that hasn't been fully determined yet, no? Okay. All right, because if the five-year plan could be reevaluated during that period, that's fine. I wasn't sure whether that would be set and not up for evaluation, and just looking at the subsequent time period after the first 5 years. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, and I believe it would be, yes. Because, you know, remember, this is a 30-year plan. Technology is going to change, your land uses are going to change, the way we may be moving will be changing over the 30 years. So there are mechanisms for adjusting to those changes. And one of the things that happened out of the ILA amendment was the opportunity to swap projects for something that's a like project. And also an ability to apply for new projects as funding becomes available, as revenues keep on increasing, hopefully, over the 30 years. So, you know, as things change, we will definitely reevaluate these projects to make sure that they're still viable, there's still something that the municipalities want and in need, because, of course, over the long span, you know, there's we developed this in 2018, well, really 2016, and then some of them were carried over into 2018. So, you know, our needs in 2018 are definitely going to be different in 10, 20, 30 years. So, and then, of course, we'll be reevaluating based on your existing land uses and employment centers that have come about during those period of times.
Good morning, Bill Cross, Broward MPO. So I was just speaking with our county folks here. So I just want to clarify that we will be looking at this annually. So it is an annual process, and we're using existing data because the existing data is readily available. It's agreed to. Everybody understands it. As soon as you start to look at future year data, that opens up a whole nother can of worms. So we're very comfortable that the best approach here is to stick with the existing data. Those existing data files, they're widely available. They're a known source. They get updated frequently, and so that provides us the opportunity each year when we go back and we reapply to use the latest and greatest data without getting into all the headaches that are and that can of worms of trying to look at future projections, because we all know that those are subject to lots of interpretations. So I just wanted to clarify that for the group. All right, thank you.
So can we talk about the work mix just real quick? Because I have a few questions on that. First, if I have a project that's like ticking two or three of those boxes, will that jump my application up in the ranking process? Meaning if I have an intersection project that affects transit as well as landscaping, for example, is that going to be weighted more than a project that's simply an entryway project, for example?
Those haven't been established yet.
Right.
So
So what's the thinking on it then?
Yep. So the approach is we're still evaluating all of the municipality projects. So the categories that which y'all voted on are the exercise that you just participated in gives you an idea of the type of bundling that we've done with these project types. With that said, the question specifically is in regards to if I check all the boxes, am I going to get a higher score? One of the things that we're trying to avoid is that kind of manipulation in the system of saying, well, I've got a quarter mile of a sidewalk, I should get a higher score because I checked that box on it. The geographic aspect will associate the connectivity and enhancement to the area around it. The work mix, the primary type of project it is what's going to be the driver in regards to the work mix criteria. And how that plays, if it has both congestion and connectivity elements associated with it, it potentially could get a higher score than those that are just based on one, dependent on the work mix itself, because something that's just alleviating congestion that is going to be a major corridor or enhance many connectivity or geographical impacts could potentially have the same ranking. So those are some of the things that we're weighing and we're working out the details on now. Someone else had their hand up?
Yeah, and that's the reason why really we're not at that level yet. We're still trying to establish the criteria, and you know, November's workshop will, I think, hopefully clarify those type of questions.
Any other questions?
Erin, can you just give a bit of clarification on the activity centers? You said you were not including those. What do you mean by that?
Yep. So the map itself right here shows what the activity centers are identified within the county. And as you can see, in some area, and I'll just step away from the mic and just point it out, all the light blue is the identified activity centers within Broward County. If you look at this, it kind of already creates that element in which we were trying to avoid, such as an imbalance in distributing funds. I'll take the podium with me. So when we look at employment and population densities, that's spread out throughout the entire county. So by looking at just the activity centers, which are not always demonstrating what's actually happening there, but it's also what they're hoping to happen there and areas to focus redevelopment and opportunities there, that's why we don't want to base it on solely just activity centers, because of the fact that those are areas in which are focused, and if they actually are performing the way that they're intended, they'll be reflected in the density of population employment.
Just to follow up on that, but I think we shouldn't be tied specifically to the 5% of the top employment and population areas. I think we first need to kind of evaluate what does that really mean, and it could be, you know, the top 15%, you know, it based on, you know, where those population and employment densities are located. So this map is for illustrative purposes at this point. There may be needing some tweaking to make sure that, you know, there are some areas where it's very empty, white, and but we do know that there are employment centers in those locations. So just because you see this map and your local government has, you know, nothing in it, don't feel like that we will take in consideration once we start getting deeper into the test runs of projects, that we will take consideration of making those scales to make sure that it's capturing a better understanding of where those high population and employment density areas are located. So the Broward Comprehensive Plan has identified the 5% as generators for transit users, and that's how this map is being read. So the top 5% Broward County felt were, you know, generators for transit trips and getting people from work to these population centers. So that's why this is really just for illustrative purposes at this point. But we do have the whole full data set of all the TAZs, and we will do an analysis of to making sure that, you know, there are the ones that are not identified may be in consideration for, you know, part of the review process.
Yeah, just to clarify that, like Andrew said, these maps are used not, these are not the final data sets that are being used. This is an illustrative of the actual source data. So when we're seeing just 5% high density population employment, we're receiving the full data set, right, Nick, from the county of where we'll be able to take the actual 5%, 10%, 15% and do those ranges and look at the different locations to help identify the dispersity within the with the county. Yes.
I just had a comment about the work mix and just when you're thinking about the prioritization of the criteria ranking, and there's a lot of asterisks. I know it would depend, and those categories were pretty general. Specifically, the one I thought of was the sustainability, and it ranked really low, but if, for example, Los Olas Boulevard that's underwater during every high tide, if you address that, it is huge for connectivity and congestion. So there's a lot of asterisks depending on what that work mix really is when you get down to it. So I wouldn't want to restrict something that could be so impactful, and I'm sure everybody has a project like that, that wouldn't even be considered because it only ranked 1 point something, because you think a bioswale. When we were answering those questions, you had in your mind kind of what you thought those criteria were, so they might not really be when you get into the work mix the best.
Understood. All right, if we don't have any other questions, of course, you know our project team, you know where to find us, probably in the grocery store somewhere. So please feel free to reach out if you have additional questions. Again, the MPO is sending out the meeting minutes from the one-on-one meetings. If there was action items that were requesting additional clarification, additional information, please provide that to us because it will only help you in the long run. And we will conclude the meeting. Thank you.